Ladies and gentlemen, we'll go ahead and start our board meeting. We still anticipate having a board member or two join us, so thank you for your patience. Acknowledge Scott Baird, who's sitting in at the request of the state for Alan's position. So thank you, Scott, for doing that for us. We'll turn some time to Ken Balsall for a roll call.
Paul Hanson?
Present.
Betty Naylor?
Here.
Brett Chenoff? Paige Flynn? Roger Fido?
Here.
Thank you very much.
Alan Madison's designee, Scott Baird?
Here.
David Sackerson? David Stevens?
Here.
Mark Stevens? We have a quorum of 5 members.
Very good. Thank you. We're going to rearrange some of our items until we get the other board members, but we'll proceed with those that we can act on. We have the approval of minutes first, board members. We have 2 sets, one from November 13th and one from November 25th of 2015. Do I have any motions or action on those 2 items?
I have read both of those and turned in some clerical to Mary Ann, but otherwise I move that they be approved.
Have a motion by Betty on both sets of minutes?
On both sets.
And a second by Roger Friedel. All in favor indicate aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Very good. Welcome, Mayor. It's good to have you with us.
My apologies to everyone.
You're fine. Moving on then to item number 4, we'll move into the Financial Assistance Committee report. And Betty, turn this portion to you, please.
Okay. Michael?
Good afternoon. Looking at the status of the state revolving funds that we oversee, the state fund first. Currently, we have $1,180,000 in the fund. Over the course of the next year, we're expecting an additional $6 million to come in to the fund through allocations and repayment streams. By December 1st of this year, we're expecting about $7.3 million in the state fund. We have a number of projects that we're working with at this time. The second page shows those construction projects that the board has authorized out of the state fund, totaling about almost $3.7 million. A number of planning loans and grants are out with several water systems that are preparing master plans or engineering studies. About $330,000 in planning money is out. we have closed the Helper City loan grant for $3.5 million, and that money is currently being spent by Helper City to complete their infrastructure improvements that they're working on. Are there any questions about the state fund?
No. Seeing none.
Thank you. Moving on to the federal program. Currently, in the federal program, we have almost $39.5 million. The majority of that is in repayments. Over the course of the next year, we're expecting our annual capitalization grant to come from EPA. Current noise from Congress is that we should be receiving about $8 million, of which we'll have roughly about $6 million to add to projects. So over the course of this next year, we're expecting almost $16 million to come into the program for a total of $55,357,000 available by December of this year for projects. As with the state program, we have a number of projects out that the board has authorized that are not yet closed. They are listed there on the second page. We also have a number of planning loans and grants out through the federal program, as well as other projects that are currently under construction. That's all there on that second page. Are there any questions about the federal program?
I've got just a question, Michael.
Sure.
2 of those projects are some that have been authorized now for quite a while, the White Hills Water and the West Erta Improvement District. They're shown as anticipated closing. Those are still moving forward? And
White Hills is moving forward. Yes, we're working with them. West Erta has its issues. There have been several iterations of that proposal and the project, and we are working with them to iron things out. The latest one is actually involving Stansbury Improvement District, but we've not really made any progress towards an actual closing date. That May of 2016 is a wish, if you will, because of the number of iterations that the proposed project has gone through.
Okay, thank you.
Seeing no questions from the board, thank you, Michael, and we'll move on to the next item on our agenda, which is the project priority list, and Michael, you have that one also.
Yes, I do. Excuse me. We are adding three new projects to the priority list. Fairfield Culinary Water scored 32.2 points, and their project consists of a new well, a tank, and a pump station. The Old Meadows Water Company scored 22.8 points, and their project is waterline replacement. Eagle Mountain with 11.4 points, and their project is a new waterline and a pump station. We're recommending that the Drinking Water Board approve the updated project priority list.
Okay, I'll accept a motion.
I'll move that the Water Board approves the updated project priority list.
Okay, and a second.
I'll second.
Thank you. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item on our agenda, it looks like we're going to look at federal funds for all of the next items. As the Bear River and Julie, if you'll invite those who are representing Bear River to come up with you, if they'll introduce themselves for our records.
Okay. I'm Vonine Jorgensen. I'm from the Bear River Water Conservancy District in Brigham City. Our district is actually all of Box Elder County.
Could you hear her?
My chair is sitting really high. So
I know it is. You can stop right there.
So I'm feeling like it.
If you'll give your name one more time, she was not able to hear you.
Okay. My name is Vonine Jorgensen. I'm the general manager for the Bear River Water Conservancy District.
I'm Bill Bigelow, Hanson Allen & Luce. We're the district's consulting engineer.
Okay, go ahead, Julie. Okay.
Bear River is requesting $200,000 in financial assistance to create a water master plan. The cost of the plan is $215,000, and the district has committed to contributing $15,000. The plan will include outreach activities to stakeholders and drinking water suppliers in the county, evaluation of existing water resources and demands, investigations into plans for Bear River water development, conservation planning tools, and an evaluation of the possibility of a water rights bank. The district has a local MAGI of $42,006. This is based on their zip code. This is approximately 104% of the state's MAGI. Currently, their average rate is about $48 per connection, which is 1.37% of local MAGI. A planning loan at 0% interest for 5 years would result in an average water bill of about $143. This is based on current water-related debt and O&M costs, and this puts them at 4.1% of local MAGI. So the district does qualify to be considered for a planning grant. The reason that their current rate is much lower than what our evaluation shows is because they use property tax to fund their water system expenses. The committee looked at two options for the board to explore, option one and two. Option one is $200,000 in grant, so it's a full grant, and this would not change their water bill. Option two is 50% loan, 50% grant, at 0% interest for 10 years, and this would increase their water bill by about $1 per connection. And then option three is just showing our base evaluation for your reference, which is a 5-year planning and that increases their water bill by about $5.
I want to compliment you on the material that was turned in to us and your goals that were set. I think it's far-reaching and a very, very complete.
Thank you.
So, and do you, would you like to comment on it?
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity of coming before you today.
Get closer to your mic, because we do have to record.
Okay, thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity we have to come to before you today. And we appreciate your consideration of funding our master plan process. The district is at a point in time where we have completed our last master plan. And so now we're looking for direction and information for us to move forward into the future. The district needs, we need the data and the information for us to be able to look at the supply and demand for our culinary and in our industrial and commercial uses for the future. The information that we will get will also assist us in addressing conservation methods and activities. And also a really big important part of this effort is to address our 60,000 acre feet allocation from the Bear River development. We are a rural district, we're a rural community, and we have we are behind the larger districts like Cache County and Weber Basin and Jordan Valley in our planning process and showing our projections when our water out of that project will be needed. It's important now that we move forward and get the information and the data that we need to provide the projections for that project. So that's really an important thing for us. I am most excited about being able to do the public outreach program where we're going to visit with, you know, the important stakeholders, the legislators, the county leaders, the mayors, so that we can address and get input from them on their what they perceive to be our challenges and interests and concerns. And so we're excited about that. Also the other public outreach where we'll be visiting with all of our public water suppliers to see what their supply and demands are, what their future needs will be, and to be able to do an evaluation of when they will need an extra supply of water. So our conservation effort will be one that is really a high priority, especially now, so that we can use the water that we have in with best methods and management and efficiency so that we can move forward for the future. So I really appreciate being able to come today. We've had a long-standing relationship with the Division of Drinking Water, and we have so appreciated it. We've had our first loan was taken out in 1993. The last one we had is in 2014. We've been able to complete about six major water projects, and we have about, we wholesale to 12. We've got 14 to 18 different communities that can be backed up on emergency case basis with the projects that we've done, and because you were willing to support us with the funding. And so I really do express my appreciation to you today and appreciate your consideration of our master plan process. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, questions from the board? Discussion?
Go ahead, David.
After you.
I defer.
Well, I was just curious how, you know, your current average water rate is approximately $48 per ERC, and you're going to go to 138, if even with a grant?
So the reason why the numbers show that is because they use some of their property tax revenue to supplement their water system expenses. Okay. So when we look at the operation and maintenance costs for the water system and their current debt, and we divide that into the connections that they have, it shows that that's what they should be paying. But they don't charge that because they have other revenue that they supplement it with.
Okay. Quick couple of questions I had. Is this master plan is much more extensive than the typical ones we see in terms of planning? But it's also a different scenario. We're not talking about a single community doing a plan. We're talking about a much larger scope. As I understand it, from what you said, you currently serve or have the ability to support between 14 and 18 communities as a backup supply. Is that, did I understand that correct? Do you anticipate this study including all of those communities, and or do you anticipate additional communities to also be included?
This is a, we look at this
really close. Sorry, thanks, Bonnie.
Thank you. It's a countywide master plan. The county looks to the water district, our conservancy district, as the water authority. We are going to do it'll be an extensive countywide where we look at all of the entities and all of the municipalities to see where all of our water in our county is, how much we have, the supply, the availability, and when we will need extra supply, and use those projections. We have, one of the things that has most pressing in Box Elder County now is that we are looked at very seriously with new businesses coming in. Box Elder County has a lot of amenities. We have a good workforce. We have rail. We have freeways. We have land. And our limiting factor is water. And so we need to be able to, we need to basically analyze where those areas of industrial use will be, how will we be able to get it there, how much will be needed, when it will be needed. So it will be an extensive countywide master plan. And our county being so rural, a lot of our public water suppliers are private water companies. And so we want to be able to look at their water right, look at their system to see what their capacities are, to see how, and analyze each one of them to see when will be the time will come when, and when that is, that they will need an extra water supply. So it is extensive, and I know it's expensive, but it is going to be in depth. Cache County did one like this two years ago, and it cost over $250,000 because it was really extensive. But it was really impressive because by the time they got finished, they had their little communities, and they could tell the dates and the times when that community would need extra water. And with our Bear River development, we need to be able to secure and protect our water right and our allocation there, and just be able to demonstrate when we need it, where we need it, how we're going to get our water where we need it. And as the study moves forward with the Division of Water Resources, they are studying now reservoir sites and corridors, rights of ways, and we need to be able to have the information that's needed for as we participate in that study. So I know it sounds extensive, but I really feel like we're at the point in time where we really need it.
One other question, Betty. Do you anticipate them participating in any financial part of this cost, or only in helping supply data?
Just supplying data.
Supplying data to you.
There again, they look to us as the water authority, and a lot of the private water companies just don't have the funds. They don't have the money. They don't have to be able to help us fund this.
And then I presume the information you collect, if the state were to participate, would be made available back to them to help their individual communities as well.
I think it's going to be I'm really looking forward to meeting face to face with them and really working with them, so and having a really good working relationship with them, so that they, you know, will be able to feel our desire to be a service to them. And I and the data that they will give us is very important and will be available to them, the county and the state.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And as you have contacted them, you feel like that they are willing participants to give up that information to you and fully participate in what you're proposing?
I feel that they will. I haven't contacted each one of them yet, but the people that we have contacted so far and had interviews with have been very, very supportive. So we have really good relationships with a lot of the private water companies. There are one or two that really don't like us much, but we're hoping to work on that.
Any other questions?
Betty, I have one more question. Is the county participating in this process at all? The county government?
The county government are willing to, will be willing to work with us. They're not participating financially because they're, again, they look to us as the water authority. But we have a county commissioner on our board, and he's very supportive. And I know the other two commissioners are very supportive of us as well.
Okay.
Thank you. Welcome, Tage.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry to be late.
Okay. We are just on the Bear River Water Conservancy District proposal for their master plan. If you have any questions on that, they've done the presentation.
I don't. I looked at it earlier, so I'm fine.
Okay, we'll turn it to the board then for a motion.
I have to declare a conflict of interest. I can't vote on this.
Okay. And did you get that, Mary Ann?
And the reason being that as you're a board member on the district, so thank you.
Okay. We're up for a motion.
And I would move that we grant the request to the Bear River Water Conservancy District.
Okay, we've got two options.
Three options.
Three options. Option number one, the $200,000 grant.
Okay, do I have a second to that? I'll call one more time. Do I have a second? Okay, the motion fails. Do I have an alternate motion?
Not yet. I think we need to talk a little bit more about the options as a board.
Okay.
And we have the three options on the table. They're all resulting in more or less the same, within a couple of dollars, more or less the same average water bill. And so I'm not convinced that the grant is, you know, maybe the only way to go.
The full grant?
Yeah. I don't mind the idea of a shared grant and loan.
Okay.
I kind of feel the same way.
Okay, that's the way that I was moving also, was for option number two. And I think that that's the one that the financial committee had discussion on, the pros and cons of that also.
I was just going to ask that. Did the committee have a recommendation, which was number two?
Well, we had the three options that were shown here.
We wanted to present the three options.
But we wanted to have more discussion with the full board.
Right, but they didn't articulate their preference towards any one of the three?
Not to be presented to the board as a financial committee.
Recommendation. Yeah.
We wanted the board to see the three options that were available. Any other questions or discussions from the board? Okay, I'll accept motion.
I'll make a motion that we accept the request with option two, which would be the $100,000 grant with a $100,000 loan at 0% for 10 years.
And I'll second that.
Okay, I have a motion by Paul, a second by David. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it.
Okay, moving on to our second item on the agenda, Rich. Okay, and if the gentleman representing Fairfield will introduce themselves for our records.
Okay, that's where I got that from. Okay. I do routinely. Want to introduce first?
Yeah. I'm Peter Lawrence, Mayor Pro Tem Fairfield.
Okay. Ryan Taylor, Epic Engineering, consulting engineer for Fairfield.
Okay. Go ahead, Rich.
So Fairfield has a project. They have a new well they'd like to do, a tank, pump station, and treatment as well. Also meter upgrades. Cost of the project is over $1.1 million. They're planning to contribute $20,000 toward the project. One issue they have is they only have 20 connections, and so they are anticipating maybe doing a general obligation bond, which is actually better, more secure than a water revenue bond, so that's not a problem. They've recently raised their rates to $55 per connection, which is 1.9% of local MAGI, so the difference there being from taxes to fund that GO bond. So the overall, it'd be over 4% of local MAGI, so they do qualify for grant or principal forgiveness. This will go through the federal SRF. So the recommendation is that the board authorize $1,160,000 with an interest rate of 0% for 30 years, with a principal forgiveness of $580,000, where the repayable amount would be $580,000 as well. So it's a 50-50 grant, loan grant split. They have a few issues on their IPS report that's in your packet. There was a question during the conference call about maybe costs of connecting to Eagle Mountain. Those costs are over $5 million. So it's a little pricey still, about 6 miles away. That's all I have.
Do you have any comments?
Well, can I fill you in on why we're doing this?
Please.
We have been reliant on a spring, and this gentleman brought up the IPS report, and there are things where you don't own the spring, you don't own the land around it, and some of those requirements are difficult to do. We have letters here that we've complied as best we can. One of our problems is, though, we don't have an alternate source of water. If the spring, we've gone through some drought a couple of years and the spring is going down, we don't know what the El Nino is going to do. But we've always felt like we are not in control of our destiny with the spring, and by drilling a well, putting in an additional tank, pump station, and everything that goes with it, we would make that the primary source and the spring the secondary source, so that we would be in a much better position going forward. The other thing is that to this point, Fairfield being a very small town, we have people on the water system. We have people that will, get permission to drill a well. And going forward, if we are able to drill our own well, we would not allow them to drill individual wells. We would have them hook up to the system, which would grow the system. And I think we'd be in a much better position.
Okay. Questions from the board? Discussion?
I have one. You've recently raised your rates to $55.
Correct.
If the board were to do the 50-50 split, where 50% was principal forgiveness and the other at 0%, what does that do to your water rates? Do you know what that does, Rich, in your analysis?
Yeah, on the spreadsheet. With the current 20 connections, it's an equivalent to $170 per month. So that's interest rate of 2.48, though. So 0%, it would be that first column, which is $129.
So it would, at a 50-50 split, it would still increase to $129.
Correct.
Per unit, per per bill.
Right. And one of the things at this point, you know, we have really technically very few people on the water system because the way it was all designed originally, we haven't been able to hook new people up to the water, to the spring, and where with the well, and you know, we would require that they had water shares to put in to the system as well, to grow the system. And we would also be paying for the 50% with the zero interest. We have other sources of finance that we can pay for those.
To offset, kind of like Bear River does, how they yes. offset some of their yeah. costs as well.
Yeah, and that would be part of that GO bond. That's okay. where the payments would come from.
Second question, as this is proposed to be using federal funding and financing, so does the cost include some of those additional costs for federal compliance, the Buy America provisions with the steel and the pumps? Has that been taken into consideration as well?
Yes, it has.
Yes, it has? Okay, thank you.
And have you located a site for the drilling?
Yes, we have. We have the current water tank. We own the property around the water tank. We would drill it by that water tank and put the new tank there. Obviously, we have to, because instead of pumping the water up up the hill, we now would be on top of the hill, and we would be running a power. The water tank would be there, the well would be there, the well house and everything that would house that, and also it would be fenced, you know, so that the whole thing would be protected. Whereas, you know, down by the spring, we do have a fence in place. There's a letter in here that someone came out and inspected our old system. We were in a compliance as far as we could go, but it wouldn't have been 100%. This way, we have complete control. You know, vegetation and all that sort of thing around a spring is hard to control. One of the things that our monthly tests always show that the water is clean and pass the test.
Good. Thank you.
Any further questions from the board? Seeing none, I'll accept a motion.
This is Paul. I'll make a motion that we accept the financial assistance recommendation, which would be a authorization of $1.16 million interest rate of 0% for 30 years with $580,000 in principal forgiveness with the standard conditions that compliance reports be brought up to standard and, mm-hmm. and other typical issues.
And a second?
Second.
Second, Roger. Any further discussion? Yes.
Excuse me, would this be contingent on the GO bond passing, the general obligation bond? Or?
Yes, it would be.
All right.
Any further? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item on our agenda is the Eagle Mountain. If you'll go ahead and introduce yourselves.
I'm Chris Trusty, the city engineer with Eagle Mountain City.
Ted Mickelson with Jones & Mill Engineering, consulting engineer.
Cody Dieter with Lewis Young, Robertson & Birmingham. We're the city's financial advisor.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Rich.
So, yeah, Eagle Mountain has a project. They're doing a 4-mile-long 16-inch PVC pipeline as well as a pump station. Cost of the project is over $3 million. They plan to contribute $500,000 toward the project. Interest rate is calculated at 1.8%. They do not qualify as a hardship community. There has been some talk about possibly partaking in the water use study the division is doing. So if that goes as planned, then we would also reduce the interest rate by 0.5%. Also, there appear to be some inconsistencies in the 2014 federal single audit report. So we just wanted to bring that up, and maybe an amendment might be necessary for that.
What does that mean?
What is that?
Yeah.
Is it 500,000 is the limit? If an entity borrows more than $500,000 from the federal government, they have to do a audit. And so that's combined through all different agencies or whatever. And so there was just some questions that Sandy noted, our accountant, that just need to be looked into.
But would that be a condition upon them, or would that modify any authorization we carry forth?
It would just be on the city director.
Yeah.
Okay.
My agency goes through this all the time, and it comprises of one or two extra pages and an extra look under criteria in the normal audit.
Okay.
And it's all IRS driven. I think it's just a condition on the city.
Okay. So it wouldn't. My question was, would it modify any action we take? And I'm hearing no, not on our part. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else, Rich?
No. I was just going to repeat the recommendation that you see. Nothing's changed.
Okay. Anything?
Some quick history. Eagle Mountain City had been served by wells for a number of years, and Cedar Valley is kind of a closed system, so there's a limit on how many water rights could be transferred into those wells. And so a few years ago, the city contracted with Central Utah Water Conservancy District to purchase water from them. And a couple of years ago, we came to the board and asked for some money to extend a water line from their pump station into our city. And this is kind of the next phase of that project, to connect to that same line that was installed and became operational about a year ago up to the northern part of our city, and help create some redundancy and some help out with some pressure issues that we have up there, along with some new building that's going on. The city had some foresight probably about 5 years ago to purchase an easement for this water line. So most of the project's going to be within that easement and within the right-of-way for SR 73, so there's no additional rights away that we anticipate being part of this project. And we're hopeful that we can continue to work with the board for some of this funding.
All right. We'll turn it to the board then for questions or comments.
I have a quick question. I'm trying to reconcile the numbers here. And I see a project at 3.36 million and a loan of 2.85, and there's about 30 grand missing. If you subtract $500,000 from that number, it doesn't come out to 2.895.
I had also subtracted that and come up with 2,866,805, yeah. And not the
895.
Yeah, 8. Yeah.
It's just a typo.
I anticipated this, but having three projects at once, I've forgotten exactly. I think it was the loan origination fee. So we are rolling that into the loan, but then if you recalculate the percentage of what they're loaning, then it would have to redo it again. It's like a
so the number that's on the spreadsheet is 3.395, so that includes that origination fee then? So it's just the number in the first paragraph that doesn't.
Yeah, so if you look at the spreadsheet, 2.895, and then if you look at page 3 of the packet, you can see that the admin fee is
$28,676.
It almost does it. So I think what I did, I will double check for sure, but that's my recollection is throwing that loan origination fee in, but then I didn't want to recalculate it a second time to get a new fee. Does that make sense?
Okay, yeah. So I'm not sure if it matters in terms of what's on the sheet here, but I guess for the public record, those numbers should probably match so they don't raise that kind of an issue. So.
Okay.
Any further discussion? Accept a motion?
I'll move that we accept the recommendation of the staff to authorize a loan for $2.895 million with an interest rate of 1.8% over 20 years. Conditions would include that all issues on the compliance report are resolved and any amendments to the single audit reports are also resolved. Then if the city takes part in the water use study, then an additional 0.5% reduction will be included in the loan.
Okay, hearing the motion, do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, and second by Tage. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Your motion passes. Okay, and Rich, you're the man of the hour.
I am today.
The next item on our agenda is the Taylor West Weber project. Okay, and if you gentlemen will introduce yourselves, please.
I'm Val Surridge, General Manager of Taylor West Weber Water.
Dan White with Gardner Engineering, consulting engineer for the district.
Cody Dieter.
Okay, go ahead, Rich.
So this is Taylor West Weber. On the agenda, it was written under the federal program, but this is actually going to go through state funds. We do have the option of going either way, so you'll see that in the table. That there was an option there, but staff's recommendation is that we use state funds. This was not on the original agenda that went through the SRF committee phone call. The reason which is because their existing well, which is 50 years old or so, has some sand issues and collapsed, as I understand it, and so they want to get a jump on in getting a well drilled. They are currently have a project that I'm working with for a new well, tank, and transmission line, and they're currently under construction. So while that drill rig is out working with them on this other well, they need a second well. So really we're funding two wells here. One's already been authorized, and then this new one today. So we have some scenarios. We're going to stay with the 20% principal forgiveness, similar to what we did earlier last year. And so we are suggesting that we use the state funds to avoid that increased cost for the Buy American, which is about $140,000. And so the recommendation is that the board authorize a $1,198,000 construction loan at 1.64% interest for 30 years with a grant of $299,740 to the district.
Kate. Any further comments or? Rich has covered everything we need to know, huh? Okay. All right. I'll turn it to the board then. Go ahead.
I'll just add something. Just so that you're aware of this project, we were in the midst of drilling a new well to meet capacity needs for the district. We've currently got a peak demand. I mean, just to give you some numbers, We've got a current peak demand of 3,400 gallons a minute and a capacity of 3,500 gallons a minute without this additional well that we're drilling under the original loan. With the failure of one of the existing wells, we're now behind the curve on meeting the state requirements for being able to produce water. So that's why it's just recently come to light that, hey, they've been working for the last year and a half, 2 years on getting this well, the one that just failed, getting that back up and running. But it has proven that it's done. And so it's just come to light that while we're in the process, that the district requests additional funds and replace that well. So that's why it's just come up, is that we're replacing the well so that we're back ahead of the curve on being able to deliver water.
Okay. Questions, Paige?
Val, there's been the back and forth on the water rights out there on the groundwater. You have a settlement agreement between you and the other agencies, right? Is that signed and delivered?
Yes, everything is taken care of.
Okay. Excuse me. I think I knew that. I just wanted to make sure that there's been some, well, for a long time, Val's been involved with a water rights issue out there, but I think it's been solved now. The well that's being drilled under here, that'd be under your existing right that you were using before
it
failed, right?
Yes, it's under existing right, and it's outside the mile limit that we had with
that you had on the other one.
Municipality.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, and this is a replacement well.
Any other questions?
I do have a question. I'm interested in trying to get our federal monies down. We have such a buildup of funds there. Is there any consideration to maintaining the loan amount at the same level as if it would be state funds and offsetting with additional grant to make that differential in cost? We've considered something similar to that in some past actions, or would that be... Are there time constraints because of the Buy America that would make that not possible?
Can I speak to that? Part of the well is the conductor casing,
right,
and the size of conductor that is needed, no one produces, well, at least that our contractor has been able to find, no one produces that to comply with AIS requirements.
Okay.
And so we're applying for a waiver on that condition on the existing well, and it would just slow the process down even further or potentially just jeopardize the project if it continues federal for this other well. So I don't think it's impossible, but it's not looking like it's a quick fix to do it with federal funds.
Because you have about $900,000 for the well itself, which I understand, and then an additional $400,000 for the well house. So, Okay.
Go ahead.
Were you thinking, Paul? Were you thinking more along the lines of it was going to be a wages issue on the David?
No, the metals. I realized the wages doesn't add that much anymore.
Right.
It seems to have caught up and equalized, but it's the components that make it such a challenge anymore.
And I've talked to our contractor about this, about, well, if you can get domestic smaller pipe, can't you just make domestic
two of them.
Larger pipe?
Yeah,
right?
Just put two of them, right?
Two,
yeah,
of them.
And his comment was, well, nobody's willing to run a small batch of, you know, just 100
feet. It's not cost effective.
Yeah. Nobody's willing to run it unless, you know, we pay for it, and who knows what that bill would be.
Yeah.
Can't get rid of that federal money, can we?
Mm-mm.
Okay, any further discussion from the board? Receive a motion then.
I'll make a motion that we do a staff recommendation using state funds. The Drinking Water Board authorizes a $1,198,000 construction loan at 1.64 interest or 3 per annum feet per annum for 30 years with a grant of $299,740 to the Taylor West Weber Water Improvement District.
Okay. And a second?
I'll second.
All right. A motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. Motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you, and good luck.
I'll turn the meeting back to our chairman, Paul.
Thank you. Yeah, we have to find a way to use that federal money. That's going to be a challenge for
some
us.
Some sort of reason. It's hard to imagine. It's
adding $140,000, $45,000.
I understand that, but we're going to lose that money.
We're going to lose it fast. We're going to be at $59 million.
If this was feasible, I thought your idea was a nice one. But, you know, this seems like there's always some stumbling block that's unrelated to our ability to find.
Well, one of the challenges with this one is timing as well. Because where they need to get another well online to meet demand, they don't have time to do all that
stuff.
There's
always a stumbling block, though. It doesn't seem to be able to do it.
You're in trouble. She wants your microphone down so she can hear you.
You're in trouble now.
All right, very good. Anyway, thank you, gentlemen. Well, good luck with your project.
To that point, I think that maybe we ought to start looking even, I think where you were going was trying to segment that project out so that the housing maybe could be done under one and the other. That probably ought to be pursued from here on out, as we can, even splitting these projects up a little bit that way.
Yeah, and again, that's going to be increased cost, but I think we ought to look at considering
maybe
that increased cost.
Ways to offset it.
Yeah. So let's see what we can do. Thank you very much.
By splitting it, you'd have two different loans, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's extra staff time and closing fees.
Bond
and kind of stuff.
All that stuff, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's that piece with the audit again, getting federal money.
Yeah.
So it all adds up to more red tape.
More happy challenges, huh?
A comment. We did that with the Woods Cross project. Recall?
Yeah,
right.
There was the piping. That was a federal grant, and the treatment facility that was a state grant.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The projects were split into two schedules.
But they were both very large.
Yes.
No, they were. It became very cost effective to do that. But, yeah, I think the consensus among the board would be to, you know, try to do that where we can and try to help offset those costs, even as an incentive, I think would be a good thing to do. So, anyway, thank you very much.
How can we encourage to do that?
Well,
staff will accept the challenge.
Staff will accept the challenge of coming back with
a
recommendation.
That's
it'll be through interest rates. You know, we need to make sure that we're compliant with every federal regulation. You know, there's certain things that we can and can't do, but
we did have this discussion earlier.
Yep,
about
a work session.
Subsidizing the federal costs.
Right.
And the board decision at that time was to take it on a case by case basis.
Yes.
So if that's more of a directive now, then staff will definitely start looking at that as when we do our financial evaluation, we will start looking at ways to subsidize those American iron and steel costs as part of the project. And Rich, I think, did a great job with this one in evaluating those costs with the water system and with the engineer. The big stumbling block in this case, as you mentioned, was the conductor casing availability and getting a waiver. Like they said, they are in the middle of the waiver process right now on the existing well project that they have. Unfortunately, they installed that 30-inch conductor casing under the impression that it was AIS compliant and then found out it wasn't. And so we're working with EPA to hopefully get that waiver through so that there is no repercussion on Taylor West Weber for, because they acted in good faith. Their contractor and supplier told them that it was AIS compliant and then found out that the steel was actually foreign made steel. So it's caused some consternation on both our part and on Taylor West Weber's part. But the nature of this current request, I think, precludes federal funding.
Yeah.
But from here on out, we will we'll take that directive and where we can, we will split costs and we'll split projects into definable contracts, which is one of the criteria that we have to look at when we do that.
Does EPA give any advice on this? Because I'm sure they understand that.
Be careful.
Well, yeah, but
they don't.
They say
they don't.
Just
there's no
deal with it and
just deal with it. I mean, when we did the Woods Cross project, and I initially spoke with Brian Friel and Jen Berrig out of EPA Region 8. They liked the idea, and they applauded us for working around that particular issue at the time. But there's no guidance. There's no official declaration from EPA on any of this. It's as long as we can justify it, like I say, as a separate contract between the two, if we split it out, then we're okay. So that's one thing that we will need to look at very closely as we take this on. Yeah.
The idea of a well construction and a well house is easy to separate because you don't have the same contractor
right.
doing both types of elements.
Right.
It comes down to a matter of cost effectiveness with the additional bonding and council and
yes.
right. administration costs on it. So anyway, I echo support for staff, Rich and Julie, for all your staff does. They do a great job on it. So
what was nice to know was how much it actually cost, the $145,000.
Right. Right. And Ted Mickelson, he sent us an email a while ago where they've done a more general analysis on cost of AIS and some of the other federal regulations. And I have not had a chance to go through that item by item, but we do have some more information that we can use as we're making those distinctions and that and those divisions.
Perfect. Thank you, Michael, for that clarification. And moving on to item five, Dell, we'll invite you to come up on the rural water, and you'll note that Dell put a conference packet on each of your chairs in reference to this discussion and others. So, Dell, it's good to have you with
Thank
us.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. It's good to see you all again. Just a couple of things that I want to mention real quickly, and then I'll bring the program guys up to report to you. January 21st at the Davis Conference Center in Layton, we're having our second annual Water Energy Nexus Forum. We've been working very closely with Governor's Office of Energy Development on that program. And you know, there's a lot of interesting issues there, way more than we can cover in a day. That's one of those things where the more I learn, the more I find out I don't know. And that's happening on a daily basis right now. So, but we would love to have you all there. There's like I say, a lot of interesting information, a lot of issues that many of which will affect the Division of Drinking Water and the Drinking Water Board, the Department of Environmental Quality. Anyway, it's been having that partnership with the Governor's Office of Energy Development and now the Division of Oil, Gas, and Mining, which in conversations today I learn are setting regulations on water use that, you know, we probably need to pay attention to. Those are good partnerships that we're developing. The second is, of course, like Chairman Paul mentioned, our annual conference. We're looking at another bang-up conference this year. It'd probably be another close to 2,000 people in St. George. One of the things that we have going on this year is Dr. Peter Gravatt, who is the EPA administrator of the Office of Groundwater and Drinking Water, will be in attendance. And so he's the guy that is in charge of all the programs that you all are then handed from the federal level to the state level. He's coming in on Tuesday. He'll be meeting with division staff Tuesday evening at their barbecue. And he will stay with us Wednesday and most of Thursday. What we want him to see, what we want him to understand, is the partnership that has been developed in Utah between the Division of Drinking Water, between the Rural Water Association, and our membership to achieve the compliance rates that we have. Utah is a success story that not many other states can stand up to. And that's a big part of why he's here, is to see how this works, what we do, how we make it work. I'm hopeful that on Wednesday, as many of you as possible could be there, so that we could set up a meeting where you all could sit down. You know, obviously, he'll be talking to the division staff. He'll be talking to our staff, and you know, I've had multiple conversations with Dr. Gravett, but I think it's important that he understands the drinking water board aspect of what happens, the interrelationship that the association, the division staff, and the board all have in administrating the SRF, administrating division rules, and that kind of thing. So perhaps you could coordinate with Ken. We can get a room set aside for you all where you can sit down, have a quick one-on-one face-to-face meeting with Dr. Gravett, and we can make that happen. But it's exciting that he's attending. It's exciting that he is you know, able to come be with us and look at what we're doing. I'm very pleased. You all's drinking water board meeting will be on the 3rd of March in the garden room, same place, same venue you've been in multiple years running. And once again, there's a lot going on at the conference, and we invite you all to come to as much as you possibly can. You know, you get to meet your clientele, if you will. A lot of the people who work in the industry, a lot of the vendors, and you know, we'll have that exhibit hall packed again. So you get to interact with the people that are coming to you for help, and I think that's an important thing. So we're looking forward to it. I'm probably looking forward to it less than some people because it's a hell of a lot of work, but except for but it'll be good. And with that, any questions?
Just one comment. If you'll excuse me from this one, this one conflicts with the City Engineers Conference, which is held in the other end of the state. Fine. So,
however, my staff just designated you a silver sponsor, so see what you get.
Sweet.
I'm honored to do so.
We'll take your money any way we can, Paul.
It's a great project, and I also need to mention
that Weber Basin is very much involved in that conference,
right?
And we appreciate that very much, Tage.
I also saw a request for sponsorship go through this morning.
Yeah.
So, you're thorough. Yeah.
With that, I'm going to get
please, thank you,
Terry and Kurt and Brian up here to talk to you, and I'll shut up. Good to see you.
Thanks, Dale.
Good afternoon. Howdy. I'm Brian Petit. I'm compliance circuit rider with Rural Water. Dale wanted us to give kind of a brief annual summary of what our programs are doing. So with compliance, my main duties are to work with, of course, the bad, worst 25 systems, CAP systems we call them. I also work on the EPA's ETT list, which we've done a really good job with. We only have, I think, one system left on it, and it is a system that is under a construction project, so there's not a lot we can do with it now. But so I've also been able to help with several water contamination incidents this past year. Nibley with the fuel spill incident, and then Oakley had some issues with some bacteriologicals. That was really rewarding, and glad that we could help with those two systems. I've also been doing a fair amount of cross-connection control training for different systems, helping them with their programs, just to name a few: Camp Williams, Springville, Kanta. Did some training for Metro Water. Hurricane City asked me to come and talk to their mayor and council about cross-connection control. And also did some cross-connection control with actual irrigation systems that typically wouldn't need that training but felt like they were in a position of liability themselves, so were just irrigation-only systems. So been able to do a lot of that. We've also been working on Ken's staff gave me and the other field guys a list of significant deficiencies, typically not ones that would be on, end up on my radar per se, but so we've been working on those. It would be some of the systems didn't have IPS points other than these, so we've been working, trying to weed through that list, making pretty good progress on that. That's about it. It's interesting. For example, today we were, you heard Fairfield, and Dale turned around and said, see if you can help them, and I immediately knew who their operator was, so I texted him, and he texted me right back, and so I have another client to help with a few things, so it's interesting how those things pan out, but that's about all I have.
Thank you. Appreciate that input. Thank you.
Okay, good afternoon. Terry Smith, Rural Water Management Specialist. And, of course, being the Management Specialist, you probably have heard that term before. Just helping systems with technical, managerial, and those things. And I look back through the year and just kind of put some numbers together of things that I've done. Over the last year, I've done 12 water rate studies and analysis where I've created a spreadsheet and helped them determine rates and tried to educate them a little bit on where they needed to be, and hopefully those are usually driven by the need for funding, and a few of those did come in. Seven presentations to boards and councils on financial and technical and management and water system master plans and things like that, and I won't go through the individual names of the systems, but I saw that Old Meadows, Levan, and Hatch have actually come in, so you know we've made some progress there. I've done a lot of training, and I've done a lot of training this year, and part of that is because we've had some personnel changes. Some people have left us through retirement or what have you, and I kind of had to step in and pick up that gap in the short term. And so, and then some of that was just assignments. I'm doing energy efficiency training and putting together some of that. In fact, I just met with Centerville today and talking to Randy Randall, and he's got some really good knowledge, and we're going to put together a program and take that on the road and try to get some of that out there. But I created PowerPoint presentations for those classes: energy efficiency, conservation and sustaining revenues, ERC, water rights and capacity development, you know, explaining what ERCs are and how systems ought to just not take the state numbers, but maybe take a look at what their actual ERC is, you know, do those calculations. And then helping the this water use data report. And so water auditing, tracking water usage and loss. Presented 9 trainings throughout the state on those things. And once I had them in place, we use those and continue to use them. They're not done by any means. Those will continue to go on. Authored 4 magazine articles for our Connector magazine. Those PI Blues, Financial Challenges of Dual Water Systems. Those two went hand in hand. Water Conservation, Punching the Snooze Button. Impact Fees, Financing Growth Correctly. And at the end, I just kind of took a guess at it, but 115 motel nights and 378 meals eaten on the road.
And we apologize for that.
No, that's part of the fun.
Hey, it's good to be with you again today. I've been thinking a little about what I've done the last year, and I don't have it as detailed as Terry does, but I know that, and part of this goes into the previous year as well, but I've spent a lot of time working on ordinances and that non-public drinking water rule that we're trying to get implemented into the counties and into the health departments that don't already have that type of rule in place. I've spent a lot of time working with John Chart here in the district engineer in the Six County area. That's where Michael told me a year or two ago that we wanted to concentrate a lot of our efforts. That takes in Paiute, Wayne, Sevier, San Pete, Juab, and Millard counties. I've spent a lot of time working on developing these ordinances and these rules. Also have met with each one of those counties' planning commissions, each one of those counties' county commissions, and then in between times meeting with people from their health department and from their planning and zoning departments and so forth, trying to get support for that rule that's being proposed there. There's been some opposition to it. Honestly, and our biggest opposition is the director of the health department in Richfield, to be right honest. He doesn't want to see it pass. So we've run into some stumbling blocks there. We thought we were going to get it passed through in November, but it just didn't happen because of his being against it, basically. So we're working on, you know, trying to get it pushed through, get them convinced that it's something that needs to be done. And I'm quite sure that the majority of the board agrees with us. Unfortunately, they've just had a change of chairmanship of that board. It was one of the commissioners from San Pete County that I happen to know quite well, and he's been fully supportive of it. But now it's gone to one of the commissioners from one of the other counties, the chairmanship of that, and he happens to be one of them that's not particularly for it. So we've still got our work cut out for us there, but I think we're planning on meeting with them again in February, and I sure hope that we get that pushed through. If not, there's sure been a lot of time and effort put into something for nothing, I guess. Along with that particular area of the state, I've spent a lot of time in Box Elder County. I've spent a lot of time in Morgan County, Summit County, Wasatch County, some of these areas where there's not those types of rules in place. I've put on presentations for some of those planning commissions and also their county commissioners. The reception has been quite well, I think that we can get some things happening in some of those other areas of the state as well. And they need it as bad as the Six County area probably. Along with that, we had, at least to my knowledge, our first real successful sessions at our conference a year ago, where some of you, Paul and Michael and Ying Ying and some of the district engineers, taught the classes. We're doing that again this year, and we also did it at the fall conference in Layton. And I think those two, last year's annual conference and the fall conference, I think were very successful. And what I'm going to be doing now pretty hard for the next 6 weeks is making sure that we get people there to the annual conference, the county folks, the development folks, to participate in that class again, and hopefully we'll get some new ones that wasn't there last year. Anyway, that's kind of been my main focus, and sometimes I don't see results fast enough to satisfy me, and I get a little frustrated with that, but that's part of the game, I guess. Now, just kind of recently, I've also been kind of authorized and brought back in a little bit to helping find projects for funding. And, I can tell you how you can get rid of that $59 million federal money. I mean, it's simple. I don't know. I can't believe you guys haven't thought of this. But you know, you take a water system, I don't care where it's at. They don't care how much it costs, as long as you give them grant. So, you know, you can easily get rid of that federal money Because they don't care if the price goes up because they've got to buy America and all that kind of stuff, as long as you give them grant. So that's all, you know, that's, and usually you tell me I've got to tell you a joke or something like that, so that's the joke of the day, I guess. But, but anyway.
$50 million grant.
Yeah, it is a joke.
Marianne's got it recorded here.
Yeah, so. Well, Larry, there you go. Well, see, so if it's on record, it must be a fact. So anyway, there are some projects that I think are going to be coming to you. I've spent quite a bit of time in the last month or two working with Wellington. Doug Nielsen's here from Sunrise Engineering. They've got lined up with engineers, and they've got some pretty serious issues over there. They've lost a tank that the lid's gone to pot on it, and right now they're operating with no storage, only what's in the water lines. Thank goodness their water's coming from Prywide, and so it's got quite a few miles of pipeline storage, but they don't have no storage tank online right now. And so we're working in a very fast mode, as fast as all the gears will let us move, to get some emergency funding in place there, and they may even be looking at RD for that, because there's some special money that RD has, I guess, that maybe can make that happen. But I know with their distribution system and with probably an additional storage tank, because I'm pretty sure they're deficient on storage even when they get this other tank repaired, and other things, they're looking at some real significant projects in the town of Wellington, and there's no question in my mind that they'll be coming here for a good portion of that. I've met with Juan Ship, and I need to talk to you about that, Michael. But they need to do some things with their system. The little mutual company of Juan Ship up there between Park City and Colville's got some significant problems with their system that needs to be addressed. The town of Plymouth, that's another one I've met with. I think they'll be coming relatively soon. And Elwood and Deweyville, they've got a spring that they own jointly, and that needs to be redeveloped quite bad. I'm sure there's other things that need to be brought into those projects as well. And their magi is high enough that they don't meet the 1.75%. You know what I'm talking about with the rates. And like all communities, they don't want to raise rates, so they're scrambling around trying to figure out how they're going to pay to get this done without raising rates. And I keep telling them it's not going to happen, but so far they're dragging their feet. But I'm sure that's something else that's going to have to happen. Now, I was going to just maybe mention also, so far this winter, the weather's looking more promising than it has done the last few winters as far as snowpack and so forth. But there's some communities, and my own community is one of them, and that's probably why it's on my mind so much, where springs are literally drying up. And I'm sure you've heard about some of this before. I was in a meeting yesterday and was talking to a guy there that from Park City, and they're experiencing some of the very same problems. We've got three springs in our town that always have taken care of us through the winter and to quite an extent through the summer. Thank goodness about 16 years ago, just before I quit being mayor, we drilled a well and built another storage tank, and we have had to run that well almost steady this winter because our springs are just, there's nothing there. They've just, so we're looking at quite a project, at least we think, of probably redeveloping those springs and some things. And I just think that we're gonna be seeing more and more of that, in fact, quite quick, with springs especially need to be redeveloped, and you know, in hopes of getting more water out of them than what's been the case in the past. So I think you won't have a problem getting rid of that money, but it's just a matter of getting people to get after it.
Just bring their wheelbarrows in, huh?
Yeah. But anyway, That's just kind of my little report, and I'm sorry I took so much time, and I'm sorry I didn't have a better joke for you than the one that I said, but please consider that my joke. And thanks. Again, I want to thank you personally and on behalf of the association for all of your support and friendships and everything. And if you've not got any questions of me, I'll go sit down and let you head home, but no questions or comments? Or
I think we're good.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Kurt and Dell and the rest of your staff for all that you do for the state. Let's move then to the director's report, Ken, for a few items you have there.
Yes, a few that are on the agenda, and want to comment about several other issues. In your packet, you note you have a list of the Operator Certification Commission. There were two members of that commission whose service expired, and I reappointed Dr. David Stevens to the Operator Certification Commission, as well as Bart Simons. If you look at that list, next year, at the end of this year, or by this time next year, there will be a need for either replacement or reappointment of four more members to the Operator Certification Commission. If you go to the next tab, this is a summary sheet.
Thank you, David, for doing that. I hope you said yes.
I think I did.
Okay.
It's in print.
We heard yes.
So.
All right. Well, I can go ahead and have it.
Thank you anyway. Appreciate that.
And then you look at the next tab, it's just a tabulation of funding requests for the Department of Environmental Quality. If you look at line number 2 on that request, we're proposing using $800,000 in sales tax monies from the state SRF program. It is actually replacing monies that were previously taken from the federal SRF. We were allowed to take that because we hadn't used set-aside money in a previous years, more than a decade ago. But that money's drying up and it needs to be replaced. And we're changing one set of construction monies for the other set. Unfortunately, it's going in the wrong direction. It would have been better had it gone from the state funds to the federal funds, but the nature of the federal funds forced us to go this direction. Then if you look at item number 9 on this list, in the governor's budget, we were appropriated $4 million in general fund, and then monies, $1 million from the federal funds and $500,000 from the state funds to allow us to respond to the legislative audit, where they ask us to look at our source capacity requirements and, based on data, revise those appropriately. And these monies will be going towards that study. I'd like to comment about a hearing. This is in connection with the revised total coliform rule that the board authorized staff to go through rulemaking. Now, the rules that we proposed, in which the board directed us to pursue, are more stringent than the corresponding federal rules. And when that is the case, state statute requires that we have a public hearing, and the findings of the public hearing show that it is justified from a health standpoint. The specific issue that is more stringent deals with the transition from the old total coliform rule to the new coliform rule. The new coliform rule on a federal basis allows transient systems that, under the old requirement, would monitor quarterly for coliform contamination. In the new rule, it allows these transient systems to go to yearly, one sample a year, for coliform monitoring. If for good behavior, if it's bad behavior, They go to monthly sampling, and it's, as we looked at that, it looks like there's possibility of systems shifting to easier monitoring, more stringent monitoring, stay at the monitoring and going back and forth, and just the logistics and staff costs and informing water systems for doing that, we proposed that all systems go to monthly monitoring. And for those who have been involved with water systems, they know that that particular sampling, the coliform sampling, is so indicative of monitoring. When changes happen, you see that it's happening, and then you start looking what has caused that change and start making corrections. So both from a implementation standpoint as well as a public health standpoint, we felt justified in going with monthly monitoring for all systems. So be aware that that public hearing will be in this room on January 20th, a Wednesday at 1 p.m. There'll be an administrative hearing relative to the being more stringent than the federal rule. At the Rural Water Conference, just to comment, the division will pay for travel, for lodging, for anyone wishing to participate in the conference, as well as the same arrangements for just attending the board meeting. Relative to the Water and Energy Nexus Forum that Dale mentioned, in which there was a handout, a couple of very interesting presentations. One by Jordan Valley, they started looking at how they could be more efficient in their energy use. They've so far saved over $300,000 a year in operating cost, and they say they're not done in making improvements and anticipate saving more money. That is one presentation. Another presentation is Salt Lake City, who has installed replaced their pressure-reducing valves with energy generation facilities, reporting on that. The third one that I draw your attention to is a drought study. Weber Basin was a participant in this. They looked at a 500-year period of time and what is the water cycle look at like from year to year. And one of Tage's staff persons is going to be a co-presenter on that one. So it should be a good conference. The Lieutenant Governor, Spencer Cox, is going to be a keynote speaker at the conference, or forum, I guess it's a forum. So I'd just encourage you, if you're interested and if you're available, to register for that conference. And that's all I have.
It's very good. I wish I could be there. It sounds like it's good information. Just a couple of items to the board. In March, we'll have elections for the board chair and vice chair, and both those positions will be open again. So we invite you to consider looking at that and to fill those positions. Also, following up on Kurt's recommendation, can we get some clarification, Michael, and from staff, Ken, in terms of what limitations we have on federal funds? How far can we go in grants? How far can we go in interest rate reductions? Just to refresh our memory, if you wouldn't mind, on what limitations we may have. Later. No, we can do it for our next meeting, maybe, just some information. If you can just help refresh us on the limitations we have both on the state and federal. Sometimes we tend to forget, and it would be good, and see what opportunities we may have for there. And then, as has already been mentioned, our next board meeting will be held Thursday, March 3rd, in conjunction with the Rural Water Conference. Just for my information, is there anybody that doesn't plan to be there? I know, Tage, you're often involved with the legislature in Salt Lake.
Right, and that's also the day of my regular board meeting in my district. So
invite them down.
Yeah, I'm, right now it doesn't look good.
Okay, so Tage may not be there. Dr. Stevens, you'll be there. Betty, you plan to be there? You both plan to be there. I know Brett, who is excused from the meeting, typically goes as well, so we should have a quorum based on that. So any other items from the board?
I forgot to mention one item. Relative to your plans for attending, if you could please let Mary Ann know so she could make the recommendations. The sooner the better, but an absolute drop-dead deadline by January 29th, if you could let Mary Ann know. Thank you.
And Scott, thank you for your appointment to sit in today. We appreciate your assistance in this meeting. We'll adjourn. Thank you very much.